Okay, good morning. We are continuing our idea of pei dalet, tola'im. Now, just a drop of cleanup. So we mentioned the word last day about yerakot. So there's a great book that came out. It's called The Science Behind the Mishnah by Padowitz and Rabbi Sasson. So in there, they have a nice little thing about yerakot. And so they clearly specify when the Chazal, when you see in the Shulchan Aruch, it talks about yerakot, it always means leafy vegetables. And it's like it's when you're eating the plant itself. Okay, again, it's nothing to do with science. It's how we define yerakot, such as cabbage, lettuce, broccoli, celery, and spinach, for example. But it would not include vegetables that we call vegetables like yerakot, potatoes, tomatoes, cucumbers, etc. Okay, one last thing also on pei dalet sima si'if chet, which we learned the last time. So just to clarify. So I looked again in the Torah Beis Yosef. So the whole case of having the fruits separate, float up and separate them in a bowl of water and then putting them in boiling hot water. So this is quoted only as a minhag yafeh. It's just a good idea. It's only a chumrah that's brought down in the rush. But what does that mean? It means if it's less than 12 months, then for sure it's going to be usur unless you check it. Okay, you want to be able to cook it without checking. So if it's less than 12 months, there's nothing you can do because it's maybe from, the worms could be in there from mechubar. Nothing you can do. It's only if it's after 12 months that mechubar becomes kosher. We discussed before why. And now that you're only worried about betelush, so it's good to float them in water. Why? So if it's fruit that have worms, that have holes in there, and they're worms until it floats, it's less dense. Because it's mechubar, really mikar din, it's 100% mutter to eat it. It's only a chumra to throw them away. And if it's betalush, so they usually don't float up, but they could, so you want to get rid of those. And the cold water and the hot water helps to negate the problem of worms that are talush. Mikar din, it's probably still mutter, because you're looking at it and you don't. It's only a miut hamatzo, it's not vadai. So therefore, it's only a case, it's just a chumrah that you want to, maybe some of the worms will come out in the cold water, and whatever doesn't come out in the cold water, then for sure they will die and not move, and then again, it's okay. Okay, that was that case. Just interesting for fun, the Ben Ish Chai points out in Parshat Tzav, when it comes to checking for your lettuce that you're using, chazeret, mara, whatever you're using, he's saying that whoever checks, talking about women, we're going to see that today, but whoever checks, you could end up eating, he puts the expression, you could end up eating, getting more lashes than you have of hair on your head. Because each one is five and you're having it multiple times and you're serving it to all your guests. And who knows how many bugs are there. So it's really important to check. Okay, let's read inside. Today we're starting with Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. See if you're off. Isha shenimtza achar b'dikata sheret sanir le'anayim. So a woman, kagon chomet. So then, let's say a woman checks. Again, it doesn't matter who checks, men or women, and women are 100% kosher to trust them. In fact, in many of our houses, the women are sometimes better at checking or more reliable than the men. But anyways, the case was, a woman, you see, it's a chomet, it's a large, something like a small skink or lizard, but it's something that's relatively large. We're not talking about tiny insects. And if she tells you she checked it, and then you see this, again, it depends on the situation. It could be it came there later, but it's aser lechol mibdikata. So she basically becomes pasul, and you can no longer trust her. We're talking about a case when she just checked it, nothing could have got there, and you see something huge, relatively, and basically someone's very negligent. We had that by the chalev, with the shochet, or a tabach. But even if a person makes a mistake, he checks and isn't able to catch everything, they're still kosher for it. To trustworthy for checking in the future, because they're little and it's possible to be missed and not see them. Okay, Si'if Yud Bet. Merkacha Chenaflu Atocho Nemalim. So you have this gem, And now you see some ants fall inside. Ve'avru aleim shnima sar chodesh. And now 12 months go by. You've been saving it for 12 months with those pieces of, you see ants in there. But the question is, we learned, if it's 12 months, then it's no longer aser, right? They don't have a bone, then these little insects, they dry out and they become mutter. Yesh li stapik behem, mipnesha hadvash, darkolam yadvarim, and it's manim betocho. So there's a question here. Do we say, since it's in honey, it has a preservative factor? And maybe it preserves it without drying out. It makes it stay moist, and it just preserves it, and therefore, it takes more than 12 months. So it seems like we have to be machmer lechatchila. The freezing also, maybe. Okay, very good. Freezing similar as well.
The difference between fruit preserves, this language of the Vash, and real honey, bee honey, where it's the opposite.
Bee honey is the opposite?
Tends to dissolve bees and insects
upon that. Okay, I don't know. You saw that?
We saw it.
Okay. So the post can say if the bugs are shleimim, if the bugs, you see this in the shach, if the bugs are complete, then the honey preserves it. I'm not sure if it's only talking about jam. You're saying it's only jam, not bee honey, okay? But if it's pieces, then it's quicker to dissolve. So the shach makes that distinction. He's not machalik between jam and bee honey. Okay, so tzarechiyun. The shach has an interesting comment. At the end of the shach, in Lamed Zayin, this is more for later in the shir, or maybe later for ta'arovet, but it's interesting, he points out that some point out when we say a birya, if it's complete, it's not batel filo ba'elef, some say that's not if it's super tiny. That's not referring to the little tiny insects. It has to have a certain size, and perhaps it has to be a sheretz deka'adesha. It has to be at least the size of a barley, exactly. It has to be at least a barley size. So that's something to think about when we want to be something to be batel b'shishim. Okay, I think. So that leads right into Yud Gimel. Dvash shenaflu bo nemalim. So now you have this honey that ants came in. What do? Yicham emenu ad sheyeh nitach v'yesenenu. So you heat up the honey. It makes it thinner. And then you run it through a filter, some kind of a colander, a thin one, tiny holes, so it'll catch whatever you're trying to. That's the whole purpose. And so then it's mutter. You have to take it out, because we said yeshli stopik, but not a problem once you filter it. And there's no issue of heating it up. We're not worried about the flavor. It's not ish. First of all, I don't know if it's giving any good flavor, but even if you were to say it gives off a good flavor, or the whole issue of mevatel eser lechatchila is not even an issue, because the purpose is not to be mevatel the eser and leave it in there. The purpose is to be metake in your food. It's to eat the food. You just care about the honey. You don't care about the nemalim. So that's an important principle also in the future in Tarovet, that when to apply mevatel eser lechatchila. Okay, let's get to Yudalit. Okay, if you have kernels of wheat and you know that there are bugs in there, it's a problem, insects. It's still mutter to grind them and to turn it into flour, as long as you're going to sift it afterwards and you're doing this at daytime, or at least with good lighting, so that you're still able to remove the bugs. Okay, either they're going to get now. The post can point out, either they're gonna get from the noise of the grinder or just the whole movement, they're gonna run away. So that's good. Or they're gonna get squashed, hopefully, and then you're gonna be able to check it afterwards if there's anything whole. V'chein tolea shira sham izrkenu. And so if you find anything since you're checking, you're gonna throw it away. V'hasha'ar mutter. And then everything else that you cleaned, that sifted, is gonna be mutter. Okay. that's it. Yeah, okay. So let's get to the next one. Tetvav. Okay, perhaps this is interesting. Mine ofot hagadelim be'ilan. Okay, maybe you want to call them tree birds, tree geese, whatever. Some kind of a bird, some kind of a geese. Now we're not talking about insects. We're talking about actual something the size of a bird. Birds can be big and small, but it's something that's big enough that you can do shechita on it with a kane and a veshet. So what's the case? That's the big question. No one really knows what the case is. Let me explain to you, but no one has ever, as far as I know, no one knows what this is referring to. I don't know which Rishonim have seen it or not, but the case is as follows. Mine ofo sagadelim bi'ilan. The tree grows, and out of the tree itself grows these ofot, these little birds, or whatever, these birds, they grow out of the tree itself. Utiluyim ba'ilan b'chartumayan. And they're growing out of the tree. They're hanging from the tree as they grow. That's how they develop. They don't come out of eggs. They grow and they're hanging from their beak. Asurim mishum sheretz hasheretz ala aretz. So the halacha is, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and it's based on the smak, it's aser, and it's called, halachically it's an insect, and there's no way to eat it. It's 100% aser. Interesting. Well, you can. We don't know what it is. When your case comes up, then we'll discuss your case. No one knows what this case is. Happens to be a three-way machloket in the Rishonim. Believe it or not, they're all concerned about this case. It happens that this case is mentioned once in the Zohar, in Shemot Tetvav, Amud Beis, I think. Rabbi Abba sees it, and he says these ofo, they grow out of the tree. It's like a fruit, and then it flies away. And once it gets older, it could swim, fly, whatever it does. So Rabbeinu Tam says it's kosher, but it's a bird, and it needs shechita to eat it. And the Mordechai says it's not a bird, it's not an insect, it's basically a fruit, and it's 100%, I don't know what bracha he would make, but it's 100% mutter to eat without shechita. But the halacha is that it's aser, and there's not really an afkamina, because for ofos we need, I mean, for the Mordechai, but at least for Rabbeinu Tam, if you call it a bird, we need a masoret for bird anyway, so there's no, it doesn't really help us. That covers that. Just also interesting to point out, if you look in the Shach, just out of interest, he writes, Haskamat haposkim ke'amechaber. The consensus among the poskim is like the mechaber, that's the Shulchan Aruch, that it's aser, and v'chen da'at ha'achronim. And so too is the opinion of the achronim. Just as a frame of reference, it's just interesting because the Shach, I believe, lived in the 1600s when this is written. And it's only like 100 years after the Rishonim. So when he says Haskamat haposkim, he means Rishonim. And usually when we say poskim, we refer to people who are alive or recently were alive. But here, his poskim are Rishonim, and his Achronim were within a span of maybe 100 or 200 years, going back to the late Rishonim. Okay, let's go on. Yeah, I'll save this for after. Okay, Tet Zayin. Kol tolayim hanimtzayim bebehema. So now if you have worms or insects inside a behema, bein shehem bein or labasar, bein shehem b'me'eha asurim. So anywhere inside an animal, Allah has its asur. V'nimtzayim bedagim, but if you find them in fish, actually, while it's still in the flesh, b'me'ehem asurim, bein or labasar, or betoch habasar mutarim. So if it's inside the digestive tract, then it's asur. But if it's inside the flesh of fish, it's actually mutar. V'afilu pirshu k'tzat v'chazru mutarim, kichein ribiteu. That's normal for them. That's how they live. That's how they grow. Even if they come out and break back in a little bit, that's okay. Okay. When do we say it's aser davka demichaim? Only if it's when they were alive. It's when you found them in the fish. Aval hagadelim bebasar achar shchita o bedagim ugvina mutarim kol zman shelo pirshu. But if it was after shchita, so then it's always going to be okay. And kol zman, as long as they don't leave. they don't leave the fish. Hilkach, tola'im ha'nimtza'im b'kera shenaflu min ha'basar mutarim. So therefore, if you're eating on your plate and you see them fall out, mutarim. Tada'at ha'matirim. So according to that opinion, it says it's okay. Tuhu shapirish mate. That's when the tola'at comes out dead, like it falls out, not that it wiggles out. We don't want to worry that maybe it left when it was alive and then came back in. Sorry, the live and dead is referring to the worms. Chutz lechaticha, outside the piece. The mistama otam shepirshu michayim naflu kesheidicha abasa. Because anything that came out when it was alive, we assume it's going to go out again when it's alive, and it's not going to end up on your plate. It's going to disappear when you wash them, when you take care of them. So that's not the issue. V'yesh mi she'oser ha'tola'im ha'mitavim la'achar shechita, and some say that even the worms that come about after shechita are also aser, mikol davar ha'ta'un shechita. From anything that needs shechita, haga, v'nagu l'hakel kisvar ha'rishona, and the minag is like the first opinion. And ha'od nu'agim b'tola'im shel gvina le'ochlan, and there's also a minag that you're allowed to eat. One second. When it comes to worms inside cheese, the minag is to eat them. Af al pi shekoftzin heina vehena ala gvina, even if they're jumping around within the cheese. Aval in pirshu lagamre, they completely left. Probably they go onto the plate. So then osrim otam, then that's when the gvina becomes aser. Miu im nitarvu b'sha'ar ma'achal v'lo yochlin la'asiran, if it jumps into other food and you can't find them, you can't remove them. Ein osrin ha-machal. We don't osir the machal. Ki yesh matirin otam b'chol inyan. Some say it's even mutter, even if they leave the cheese. V'tov lahachmir b'makom she'ein hefsid maruba. And it's good to be machmir if there's not hefsid maruba. The Shach points out, okay. Lav afilu on the plate itself, it's mutter. They jump onto the plate and jump right back into the cheese.
French have a cheese like that.
What?
The French have a cheese like that. Active mites.
The French have active mites in their cheese. All right, so he writes that that's 100% mutter, even if it jumps onto the plate and back inside or while it's on the plate. These are all, it might have to be on the gvina when you eat it. But okay, so then that's, yeah, I will assume so. But he writes, if it jumps onto the table, then it becomes us, or at least mishum marit ayin. Okay? And he points out, according to the Ramah, in the Ramah, in Torah's Chatas, it's mashma that it's mutter lagamre, that's what the Shach writes, but it's a chumra to be tov lahachmer. In other words, you don't have to. It's just, it's a good thing to do. Okay. Fine. Let's go to Yuzayin. Sheretz saruf, mutar le'ochlo mishum refua, de'afra be'almahu. Okay. Sheretz, any sheretz that's burnt, it's mutar to eat it for refua. In other words, mikar adin, it's mutar, it's afar, it's only has a, if it's burnt, it's charred, all it is just basically ashes, halachically, it's mutar, but there's a din, I believe only midarabanan, it's aser. You can call it achshave or whatever. If your purpose is to eat it, there's a din, there's an iser darabanan to eat it. But there's no iser darabanan if the whole purpose is for refua. That's if you're going to be eating it straight out. But if it's just a mixture, so then, unless it's, you know, we'll discuss later other issues of mamid and things like that. But in general, if it's a mixture, it's also wouldn't be an issue. It's batel. Okay, just if you're eating it straight out. Fine. Let's learn chagavim for a moment, and then we'll see what we do for a recap. Okay. Siman pehe. All right. Siman pehe. Simane chagavim, locusts and grasshoppers. Okay, so simane chagavim, kol shiyesh lo arba raglaim. Okay, so these are the simanim that make grasshoppers or locusts kosher. What are they? They have to have four legs, v'arba kanafayim, four wings, u'kanafav chofim et rov orach gufo v'rov hakefo. They're going to cover most of their length and circumference. V'yesh lo shnei kra'ayim lenater. And you have these two extra legs in the back. Perush l'kafei tzula'atik v'makom v'makom. Lenater means to jump, right? Bahem, with them. V'afil ein lo achshav, even if they don't have these legs right now, ve'ati legadlam, they're going to grow le'achar zman, later on, ve'afapi sheyesh bo kol ha'simanim halalu, eino muter, ela imkein, shmo chagav. So these are the simanim, however, you cannot rely on them. Right? These are the simanim, but they're not reliable, unless they are called, you know, all the experts in the field, they call them a chagav. Anything that's called a chagav, is and it has these simanim, it's muter. Or it has a mesoret that we know that it's kosher, and then the mesoret makes it that once you have the mesoret, then it's good. The Taz and all the poskim point out that nowadays we don't have, you can't eat it nowadays unless you have a mesoret, and none of us have a mesoret except for the Jews in Tayman, as far as I know. The community in Gibraltar used to eat them?
Until the second last when you came.
What year? Okay. They were eating them in Morocco for a period, and the Orach Chaim ossered it. The main reason why he ossered it was because he wasn't sure if it was the right one. They apparently had some kind of a masara. I don't know how reliable it was, but they decided not to. He decided it didn't fit Rashi's description, who says the Kra'ayim had to be near the head, and it's a little further from the head. So he just said, you know, we don't know what it is, and he paskin it's aser for the community. But in general, it's mamish aser in every community around the world, except for the Yemenites, as far as I know. Here, just a couple of quick things on this. So there's no ever minachai issues. The only issue is bal tishaktu, and according to the Torah, only eating it live, or if for you it's Baal Teshaktu also, just eating it dead. According to the Torah, there's four Chagavim types, the Sol Am, Chule, lists four of them, and it says Laminehu. So there's eight Minatara, and Mistama, there's really, you know, based on breeds and, you know, stuff like that, there's probably, you know, if you want to get technical, with our nomenclature nowadays, there's probably hundreds, but who knows. There is another siman that people speak about, more or less well known, but it's not really halachic, is they have a chet on their chest or stomach. So that's just interesting if you see one. And so nowadays, can you eat it? So it seems pretty clear from, I believe, all the poskim. I have not seen one that says otherwise. Maybe there is one, I don't know, but that all the poskim nowadays say a Yemenite can eat it, that's his masara, and he can come to Israel and eat it, it's his masara. And basically, it's the same halacha that we learned in the end of Pei Bet. If you were to go visit Yemen, you can eat it. However, for any community around the world to eat it, to now take upon themselves to eat it because of the Jews in Yemen, that would be aser. It's a machloket rishonim. Again, it depends how you learn that machloket rishonim, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins that he should be machmer, and that's what all the poskim say. Kaf HaChaim, Yalkut Yosef. So they can eat it.
So if you were a guest there.
Oh, I believe that. Only in Yemen, to the best of my knowledge. So.
They have a whole Yeshua.
Right. But they're in Israel. Yeah. I don't think so. Okay. Yesh Ladun. Okay, so that's Kaf HaChaim, Yalkut Yosef, and others that say it's aser for Sephardim, for Ashkenazim to eat it. Okay, bet. Chagavim enam te'unim shchita. Now chagavim, you can just eat them. They don't eat shchita. We had this by fish. Tzir chagavim temeim is mutter. Now even the juice that comes out of them, it's considered just some moisture, but it has no real substance of the locust to make it aser. So the din is, it's the tzir is, it's 100% mutter. It's a whole discussion, can you eat it straight out, or which seems to be the halacha, maybe just b'tarovet, but most of the poskim say, right, the marshal's machmer, but the shach taz and the poskim say it's mutter. So that would be the halacha, that's straight out. The blood of chagavim, so it depends. If it's kosher chagavim, it's kosher dam. There's no iser of dam. And if it's a dog tame, a chagav tame, like fish, it's also, it's only aser because of yotze mina tame. But it wouldn't, there's no iser of dam.
So the dam is also because of yotze mina tame.
Only the blood of non-kosher locust is, yeah. But not because of an iser dam. Okay, now I just want to give a short, should I do a separate recording? It'll take me 5 or 10 minutes. Separate recording? Okay.